I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, your host, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. I offer up a safe space for independent thinkers. Today's Friday. We do our regular segments next hour, starting with False Flag Friday, as we look at the march towards World War III. We've got some news out of Turkey. They're saying that NATO powers actually want this war to continue. If you've noticed, or many people probably haven't even noticed, the U.S. is making absolutely no attempts, zero attempts at any kind of diplomatic solution. They're not trying to facilitate talks. Biden's not talking to anybody. Our Secretary of State is not talking to his counterpart over in Russia. They want this war. And a CBS News story was run that may show exactly how they're going to stoke this thing, how they're going to accelerate it. And maybe there's even some evidence it's already started. And this is, of course, talking about the cyber attack. So we'll take a look at those stories next hour and then finish up with, as we always do, this week on the crazy train. Looking at the world's descent into madness. I think I might start a new segment here on this show. I don't know exactly when I'll put it. I mean, Friday's already got two named segments in it, but I tried to start on Friday Fight Club. And I've given you just about everything. If you're a traditional conservative out there, a normie Republican, I've given you loads to disagree with as I take on. I really kind of take on the right from the right and the left from the left. I think it was Scott Horton who kind of phrased that's what libertarians are able to do. You know, the good things about what used to be left, things like free speech and civil liberties that they've abandoned, you can attack them from the left and from the right and conservatism. And there's plenty of freedom issues that you can attack the right from the right. So I give you plenty of things during the course of a week of a show to challenge if anybody wants to call up and disagree with me on anything. We had a caller yesterday who certainly thought I was a danger on the airwaves to be challenging the vaccine at any level. I've got a clip about that in just a second. But I'm going to start a new segment today called The Contrarian Corner. And this is me. I'll admit, there's something psychologically about me that just about when I hear anything and I see the popular belief on it, I almost immediately try to see if the other position is better. Because people are so incredibly wrong about so many things. Listening to the news breaks today, I don't know if you've listened. Last few days since this Florida judge struck down the mask mandate, all you've heard about is the confusion. Confusion on planes, confusion in airports, confusion at different events, confusion everywhere. And this is this, as I used to call it during the opening salvos of the COVID cult, the CDC says. It's like Simon says, CDC says, put a mask on. CDC says, take your mask off. CDC says, put on two masks. CDC says, you can have 25% occupancy. CDC says, stay at home. And now we've got this expanded. Not only CDC says, it's CDC says, it's court says, it's city bureaucrats say. Everybody's trying to jerk everybody around with all kinds of different policies. So the confusion is because we're not a free people in this country. There's no confusion in my world. I don't wear a mask because masks don't work, and I'm not scared of a disease that is 99.9% survivable. If I was scared of a disease that is 99.9% survivable, my entire life would be led indoors as some kind of a hermit. There's all kinds of dangers in the world. I choose to go out amongst them to live my life. But now we've got confusion everywhere because everybody's waiting to be told what to do. This is not a free country. when that is the case. Anyway, we'll get into Contrarian Corner in just a second, but I did get a Friday Fight call yesterday on the vaccines. Caller called about midpoint of the show yesterday, and we went with Americans for Prosperity second hour. There were a ton of phone calls about it. I would imagine a lot of the WYAB listeners, a lot of the pro-vax people, I don't know if they've stuck around this station or not because we challenged the safe and effective label put on these vaccines. This woman was very put out with me, and people like me, she said, who just go on here and spout out very dangerous cautions about an experimental gene therapy. I just ran across this clip. I thought I'd just play it in honor of her call yesterday.
My name is Bob Snow. I'm a captain, been a captain for a number of years. My total service with the company is over 31 years. On November 7th...
This is an airline pilot. I believe he was American Airlines. I'm not entirely sure about that.
I was mandated to receive a vaccine. Quite literally, I was told if I did not receive the vaccination, I would be fired. This was from our director of flight. So, under duress, I received the vaccine. Now, just a few days ago, after landing in Dallas, 6 minutes after we landed, I passed out. I coded. I required 3 shots. I needed to be intubated. I'm now in the ICU in Dallas. This is what the vaccine has done for me. I will probably never fly again, based upon the criteria that the FAA establishes for pilots. I was hoping to teach my daughter to fly. She wants to be a pilot. That will probably never happen. All courtesy of the vaccine. This is unacceptable, and I am one of the victims. You can see that this is the actual result of the vaccine for some of us. Mandatory, no questions asked, get the shot or you're fired. This is not the American way.
Yeah, and there you go. Safe and effective. No, but he didn't get the memo. Maybe they should tell him. I'm sure a doctor will swing by the ER where he's fighting for his life and explain to him that, no, it's safe and effective. It really is sad stories. That's part of the CDC says. You know, the CDC said all of them had to get the shot. Now, I think this vaccine mandates, I think, for a lot of the airline employees now are not in place. CDC says. Airlines say. Biden administration says. And they walk it back. You got to keep up with every little move or there's where we are right now, which is confusion. Confusion everywhere. When I come back, we're going to get in Contrarian Corner. I got 2 things to talk about. Elon Musk taking over Twitter. This has been a big thing. I don't even know if I've commented on it at all. There's been so much different news. I try to cover different things here, but if I've got a different take on something, I'll offer it just to give people something else to consider. So we'll talk about Elon Musk taking over Twitter and also Disney being stripped of their autonomy there in Florida. I may have a different take than other people on both of these stories, so we'll get to those when we come back on the new segment, Contrarian Corner. I'll be right back.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I to know?
I had a couple callers during the break. One of them made a good point. I'm saying this is not a free country. And he said, well, it is a free country. We just don't really exercise our freedoms. And that's very true. We do have the ability here. This was set up as a free country. You know, think about this for just a second. Understand the founding fathers, the way this country was set up, the government's real job, their number one job, is just to protect the rights of Americans. The Department of Justice should be there to protect your rights. And instead, what the Department of Justice has become, what our government has become, is an authoritarian regime of rules. And they are there, many people believe that they are there to enforce the rules that they have laid upon us. Now, they can protect your rights. Department of Justice could do heroic work if they wanted to. If somebody violated your rights, if another human being violated your rights, they should step in. Prosecute that person who was stolen from you, who has hurt you, who's taken your property, these kinds of things. The Department of Justice, the entire government at every level is there to protect Americans' rights. But instead, we have become a nation of government says. Government says you can do this. Government says you can't do this. If you transgress with the new rules, you're in big trouble and they will unleash the government on you. And so we've just really forgotten. We've become completely untethered from the idea of the United States, which was we're all born with the rights to be free. And the government's only job is to protect those rights and leave and get other human beings to not encroach upon our rights. And that is just, we've gone so far astray from that right now. The founding fathers must be spinning in their grave. And I will tell you, I can't help myself. Conservatives have played part and parcel to this, particularly with the idea of law and order. Any law that's passed is a good law and needs to be enforced, and we need to give the police the tools they need, the MRAPs, whatever it is. You digress. You can't do the crime, you don't do the time. Conservatives are now rediscovering their freedom roots not a minute too soon. I hope that you will expand those to even the rights of people to do things that you disagree with, because you want to see freedom for yourself. You must grant it to those with whom you might disagree. I just say this, but anyway, Mark Twain did a quote that I've used many times on this show, and I think it almost summarizes my mental state. Mark Twain said, "Whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it is time to reform or pause and reflect." And I am somebody who not only does not really participate in groupthink, I almost knee-jerk challenge it. Sometimes the majority can be right. It's pretty rare, I would say. But when I hear a popular opinion really floating through left, right, middle Americans, anything that it is, when the majority of people believe something, I almost instinctively take the other side and try to poke holes in it. Now, I will say this is kind of what libertarians can do, because, you know, we haven't been led this far away from freedom just because a sliver of people have allowed it to happen. No, the vast majority of people have gone along with this stuff, and I believe popular opinion is to be challenged. Now, I've got a couple of things here, popular things on the right now that I've got a slightly different take on, and maybe I'm going to be a tad bit contrarian on these things. And the first one is the Elon Musk taking over Twitter. This has made conservatives and people on the right absolutely giddy with the idea that Elon Musk is going to come in and save free speech for Americans. And one of the reasons is because the left has lost their collective mind about this. That has been rather amusing. The left somehow these days thinks they want to save our democracy by stripping us of our freedoms. it's a strange mental loop that they've gotten themselves into, but they're there. And so when people see the left reacting negatively to Elon Musk taking over Twitter, the right automatically says, well, then it must be an absolutely fantastic thing. Elon Musk is going to come in and save the day. Now, maybe that's his intention. I don't know. But there's a couple of things I've thought about when I saw this story originally, and I thought, I'm a little tempered in my enthusiasm for this. First of all, I don't know if Elon Musk was ever even serious about buying Twitter. Now, just since I made these notes yesterday, I saw a piece, I didn't read through it, but some headlines that he is getting financing together to buy Twitter. Now, I will say, he has said this before and actually gotten in trouble for it. He talked about taking, I believe it was Tesla, private and told everybody he had the financing lined up. This caused the price of Tesla stock to go up. Turns out he never had the financing in place, but it did appreciate the value of the stock, and he owns a lot of the stock. He made a lot of money. With the Twitter thing, as soon as it was announced that Elon had taken this 9.7% stake in Twitter as the majority shareholder or as the largest shareholder, the price popped. Now, he already had his position in there, so when the announcement was made, I think the stock went up something of 30 or 40%, something along those lines. This made Elon Musk, and I'd done the math the other day and I don't quite remember it, but it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars he just automatically made. And this is what you can do if you can float out an idea after you've taken a position and move a stock. And Elon Musk is an important enough person, a wealthy enough person to take large positions and then move a stock. He made a lot of money off of this deal so far. So that's the first thing. He banked a few hundred million or a couple of billion bucks along the way of this whole thing. But if you think that Elon Musk is the champion that is going to come in and save free speech, I hope that's the case. I'm not in Elon's mind. I don't dislike Elon Musk particularly as a human being. He does interesting things. I like innovators. He seems to kind of be one of those guys that's probably on the spectrum somewhere, just a some kind of a mad genius, or maybe he's just good at marketing. I don't know. There's all kinds of weirdness about the whole Tesla story that is odd to me. It's stock trades at ridiculous multiples, and there's all kinds of things about Tesla I see that don't make sense to me. But I don't have any ill will towards Elon Musk as a human being. But do you really think that Elon Musk is the guy that's going to go and take on the government censors? When you think about where Elon Musk has come from, he's the wealthiest guy in the world. And one of the ways that Elon Musk became the wealthiest man in the world is through massive government subsidies and contracts. Every single Tesla that is sold, I believe, is subsidized to the tune of, I believe it's $8,000 in tax credits that car buyers get. I'm not entirely sure about that. Don't hold me to that. But I do know there are large government subsidies involved in selling Tesla vehicles, government subsidies. There's also subsidies to so-called, air quotes here in the studio, green industries. And Elon Musk has been at the receiving end of very generous government largesse because of the nature of his company. If you switch to the other side, which is SpaceX, Elon Musk is going to depend heavily and has depended heavily on government contracts. Now, I am somebody who would love to see everything privatized. The government is horrifically inefficient. There's obviously no competition to anything the government does. They botch everything. But Elon Musk is going to develop SpaceX, not just for space tourism. He's not doing this to give people joyrides. A lot of what's going to happen is going to be government contracts. My point being that how serious is Elon Musk going to be to go against the big authorities, the government censors? Is he going to allow a bunch of normies who don't offer him much of anything, except maybe some admiration if he became the champion of free speech? Is he going to risk all of his businesses going against this government? That would be extraordinarily rare. And somebody that has been taking government subsidies and taking government contracts for this period of time is probably pretty well hooked on them and is not somebody who is going against the tide, the government tide. Not to mention, he's been a huge recipient of the benefits of endless money printing, which just firmly establishes him in the establishment camp. Now, I'm open to the idea that Elon Musk can take over Twitter, and maybe he's serious about this, and maybe it's just an accident that he's made hundreds of millions of dollars over the past couple of weeks. Look, if you've got $240 billion, you're going to make a few hundred million dollars pretty regularly anyway. I don't necessarily fault him for that, but this story just doesn't quite jive with the whole idea that this guy is just this white knight coming in with pure intention to free people from Twitter jail. I'm just saying, I could be wrong. I also have one other contrarian take. I guess I'll go ahead and get into it now. They were on the conservative side of things, people are really cheering. Ron DeSantis and the Florida legislature has ended Disney's special tax status. Disney took a position on this so-called Don't Say Gay bill, which is just really propaganda in itself. It's ridiculous to call it that. But they took a stance on this, and this put a wedge between DeSantis, the Republicans in Florida, and Disney. Now, we could talk probably for the rest of the hour about the issues with Disney, and I'm not a fan of Disney. The more I hear about them, the more creepier that business gets. But people are cheering for this idea of DeSantis in Florida attacking Disney. I'm just a little cautious about that enthusiasm as well. We'll talk about that in a second, but I got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you?
Hey, good. How's it going?
Oh, better than I deserve. Thank you. I'll tell you one thing that really concerns me about Elon Musk is the Skylink thing or Starlink, whatever it is, that he's going to blanket the whole world with 5G. Let's not even talk about the health implications of that. If you can control Wi-Fi throughout the world, what could you censor?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got a tremendous amount of power. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
Absolutely. And then I want to move on to something else. Have you spoken to all these food processing plants that have had planes run into them and are blowing up, fire set, burning to the ground?
I did see that story yesterday. I have not gotten to it. But, yeah, I think it was 7 food processing plants and maybe the last week or 5 days or something like that have seen problems.
Yeah, and Tucker Carlson reported more than a dozen in the last month. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm no big fan of processed foods, but all this talk about food shortages, and then we've seen, you know, if you get one or two a year, that may be coincidental and normal, but this many in this short a time, I don't know. I kind of got crossed eyes about it.
Yeah, that's obviously, it does seem concerning. The only thing I don't know is how many food processing plants are there. I mean, because some of the ones I saw, I certainly had never heard of. So I'm sure there's a lot of small food processors. So is a dozen in a month, is that a lot? I mean, that may sound weird, but if we've got, you know, 40,000 of the things, then maybe that's not odd. So I don't really have context for it, but I'm with you. Believe me, there's all kinds of hinky things going on out there, and we need to be paying attention to all of them.
So I want to say one more thing that bolsters your point about government only being there to protect people's rights. If you look at the Alabama State Constitution, the very first words in it is that the sole purpose of government is to protect the citizenry, their rights.
Yeah. Yep. It's across the board. I mean, that's the Constitution was written as an acknowledgement. We're going to give the government a few things that it can do, but its main job is to protect the rights and liberties of the citizens of the country. And that's just been flipped on its head. It's become our boss.
Absolutely. And if you look at Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution, there's only 18 things enumerated that Congress has the power to do. But they've stretched that 18 into like 18 million different things.
Yeah, the Commerce Clause was the one that really got them. Boy, that really, they use the Commerce Clause to try to justify just about everything. I mean, I think about 95% of what Congress does is unconstitutional and powers that were never granted to it. And this is why I hate that idea that you'll hear a lot of normies say, oh, these parties just need to come together and get things done for the American people. With what the Constitution intended our government to do, they could get it done probably in a weekend every other year. You know, they're not supposed to be doing very much. And we have been led to believe that the government is supposed to be making policy and setting rules and regulations, and that we're just waiting to find out what their next rules are, because they are the all-knowing body that lets us know what we can and can't do. And that is not the case.
Well, you know, a lot of the power that they garner for themselves, they do it under the guise of treaties, because the Constitution says that treaties shall be, well, they've misinterpreted it.
But yeah, well,
basically what they do is they make a treaty with somebody, then they give themselves the power to govern over it.
Yeah, yeah. And emergency powers, those certainly play. Yeah. We're in decades-long emergencies, you know, war on terror, war on
COVID.
All right,
brother, you take care. You have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, when I come back, we'll get into this Disney stuff. I'm a libertarian, so you're going to get a little different take from me. Here's the thing, though, and I don't think a lot of people do this, judging just by my interaction. We all get very sure on something. We hear something, we get the broad details of it. We don't like Disney these days. I don't like Disney. But as soon as something happens to Disney, we cheer for it because we don't like Disney. We don't really stop and think, well, what are the ramifications of what's happening to Disney? I've got a clip about it. But here's the thing about me that I've learned to do, and it's a bit of a learned skill. I don't really quite understand all of the details of exactly what Disney has within its authority in Florida. I don't know all the particulars of it. People that I respect are saying this is good. They're stripping this autonomous zone, which is essentially what it is, not to conflate it with Chaz up in Seattle not long ago, or Portland, wherever that was. I don't know all the details of that, and people that I respect and like, and I'm a DeSantis fan in Florida, they say it's anti-competitive. I'll play a clip about that. So my point being, I don't know everything, but what I do know is what is going to happen in Florida by stripping Disney of this is that government is going to grow. The Florida government, the local governments are going to, they're going to expand. And my knee-jerk reaction anytime I hear these things is I don't want any government with any more power taking over anything else that it does not have to. The more private rights we have, the more privately run things we have, the better. Even if it's a corporation I don't like. We'll talk about the Disney stuff when we get back. Stick around.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. This is a new little segment called Contrarian Corner. Sometimes the majority is right on stuff. I think the vast majority of Republicans and Democrats don't like Nancy Pelosi and know she's corrupt. I'm with you on that. But in a lot of things, people just knee-jerk jump onto things. And I don't think they're really well thought out. The Patriot Act would be just a glaring example of that, right? George W. Bush, Dick Cheney told you you were a patriot. You wanted to protect the homeland, and all you had to do was give up a bunch of your rights. And the majority of Americans thought they needed to be protected and kept safe, and libertarians were on the side being contrarians going, don't do this. Don't let this happen. Do you not understand how this could be used in the future? So I like what Ron DeSantis has done in Florida. Seems like he is the governor of all governors in the United States right now, and I don't like Disney. So when Ron DeSantis does something aggressive towards Disney, people feel like, well, that's a victory. Look at that. He's taking them down. I don't like Disney. They're a social justice warrior corporation, massively funded. I mean, they are the system. As funny as it is how this Mickey Mouse has grown up to be a very weird authoritarian figure. I love watching South Park does a Mickey Mouse character. You've got to see. Go check it out on YouTube where Mickey Mouse is all squeaky voice and jolly in out in public. But then behind the scenes, he's just this horrific cussing, just authoritarian. It's a beautiful depiction of what I think Disney actually is. So in this battle between Disney and Ron DeSantis and the Republican legislature in Florida, the knee-jerk reaction is everybody to say, yeah, we're going to stick it to Florida. I mean, we're going to stick it to Disney. Got to love it. But my first thought on this was, well, I don't know. We're going to strip a corporation of private status over an area to give it back to government control? Is that really good? I'm going to let a Florida legislator kind of tell you what the point of it is, but I had to look it up. I knew that Disney had some special arrangement there that they controlled a large area of Florida. First of all, like them or hate them, I would imagine the importance of Disney and their franchise to the state of Florida has been huge over the years. They have done a great deal for the citizens of Florida. Again, like them or hate them. And a lot of people are turning their backs on Disney, and I'm with you there. I'm not a Disney fan. But they've had a lot of impact there. Reedy Creek Improvement District, this is what was granted to them, I believe, in 1967, when a Republican governor at the time was trying to attract a new theme park, Disney theme park, to Florida. So they set up this Reedy Creek Improvement District. Let me tell you a little bit about what they do. They encompass the cities of Bay Lake and Lake Buena Vista and home to fewer than 100 total residents. Reedy Creek oversees land use, environmental protections, and provides essential services such as fire protection, emergency medical services, water and sewage, waste management, drainage and flood control, electric power distribution, and more to the two communities, according to the district's website. Reedy Creek, this private enterprise, also maintains all roadways and bridges in the communities. And there's some implications to stripping them of this status. Let me go further here in the story. Newly passed bill, this is what the Florida legislature has passed to strip them of this special tax and everything status. Newly passed bill rips up the 55-year-old deal that allowed Disney to regulate land, enforce building codes, and treat wastewater, and could cost the company millions in lost local taxes. Florida's Orange and Osceola counties may also end up saddled with $1 billion of debt currently owed by Disney World. And so this idea that you've got actually a private entity providing all of these services to this rather large geographic area, not a whole lot of residents, but they're taking care of all their own stuff. And so what we've got right now, what I see, and I'm still not completely clear on this. I'm going to let this legislator tell you in this clip what they see is the benefit of stripping them of this status. But what I see when I look at this is, oh, okay, we're going to take more, you know, more private property and turn it into public property. We're going to take something that a private entity is taking care of, and we're going to put it back into the loving hands of local governments and let them start taking care of things. Again, like or hate Disney, I would imagine the Disney area is probably better maintained, probably for cheaper amount of money. I'm sure that Disney knows how to squeeze out a dime. And even though I don't like Disney, I do like private ownership of things as opposed to government control over them. Here's a Republican explaining, his name is Spencer Roach, I believe, explaining why they're taking away these special privileges to Disney World.
Well, Disney has and has had for almost 60 years a very special relationship with Florida. They have what I refer to as Florida's 68th county. It's about 43 square miles. It's called the Reedy Creek Improvement District. And they essentially are their own government. They're exempt from all county regulation and most state regulations.
I got to tell you, so far that sounds like a win. Anytime you can get out from under government regulations. Now, I know people don't like Disney. You want to punish Disney, but this seems like one of those things where there may be a corporation that's controlling its own fate. You set the precedent to strip them of their privileges, too.
Legally, under the law, Disney could build a nuclear power plant there, and we couldn't do a darn thing about it. And look,
politicians, Republican or Democrat, they don't like any place they can't control.
Objection to this, you know, I know it seems retaliatory, but I would describe it more as opportunistic. Disney's weakened politically. We should go after this. But my principal objection to this as a conservative free marketeer, it's anti-free market. I mean, you have all these other theme parks in Florida. You have Universal Studios, SeaWorld, Legoland, Busch Gardens. And here in the district that I represent, you have a theme park. It's the largest single site employer in my district. It's called the Shell Factory. They'd love to have their own government there, but they don't have that. Why should Disney get this special privilege and no one else should have that? I think it's just an aberration of the free market.
Okay, so I'm kind of with him on that. I do agree. This may infer some competitive advantage to Disney. But my way of thinking would be, well, maybe every one of these parks should be able to privatize their areas just like Disney has. Instead of taking a competitive advantage and putting something into private hands, taking them out of the clutches of local and state government, maybe we should expand the use of privatized areas. Let these other parks compete with Disney by giving them the same freedom from government control. Not strip the one that has escaped the clutches of the government. Not instead of taking that away. This is almost like taxation. You know, conservatives, a lot of conservatives, just always surprises me when they find out somebody hasn't paid enough in their taxes and they get sent to jail. Conservatives cheer for it because they say, well, I pay mine. They should pay theirs. Instead of demanding that the government should stay out of your pocket, too. Somebody who doesn't pay taxes. I'm not somebody who sits around and says, well, some of these rich people, they don't pay their fair share. Well, God love them. That keeps their money out in the economy. My problem with the uber wealthy is not that they don't pay enough in taxes, is that the way they got uber wealthy was through the government, through the Federal Reserve that's printed up money and given it to these uber wealthy people at zero, and they're able to buy assets that go up in value just by benefiting from the system. But it's certainly not, I have no hostility towards the rich because they don't give more money to a government that just wastes it, or even worse, uses it for weapons of death around the world. But instead of solving the problem, instead of expanding more private ownership of things in Florida, what they're trying to do is say, well, it's anti-competitive that one company gets private ownership while the rest of them don't. Well, then give the rest of them private If the rest of these areas want to also take over theirs and have their own private zones, let them do that. Let that be the thing that evens the scales, not taking the one privately owned area out of the hands of Disney.
And let me tell you what else Disney's doing. So they're expanding out of their traditional role of sort of theme park amusement. They're now building a $400 million movie studio there. They're building a fourth Disney hotel. They're building a $300 million office space. And they don't have to apply with any of the regulatory burdens that any other realtor, business developer, or builder would have to comply to.
Okay, and? Yeah, this guy says he's a free market guy. And he sees this as anti-competitive. I mean, I can see that. He's right. I mean, Disney has got special privileges that others don't. Give the others the special privileges towards privatization so they don't have to go through all these regulatory hurdles at the local and the state level. Don't strip it away. Don't put the one private entity back into the clutches of the government.
They have an enormous advantage over the rest of the market. It's unfair. It's anti-free market. It's anti-economic liberty. It's wrong.
I don't know how that's anti-economic liberty. How is it anti-economic liberty to give somebody a zone, even if it's Disney, even if you don't like them? And I don't like them. But how is it anti-economic liberty to give them an area where they have complete economic liberty? They don't have to abide by endless state and local regulations on zoning or on inspections or whatever else. And now there's probably a lot of people out there right now thinking, oh my gosh, they don't get inspected. They don't have to go by the regulations. I mean, do you know who has a vested interest in not seeing like a building collapse or poor construction? The people paying to put the building up, the people who would be sued if something happened. We've been led to believe as a society that we need these endless regulations because if not, companies would just be putting up buildings that'll collapse. Do you know what happens when a building collapses? They lose the asset. They get sued into oblivion. I mean, private interests have the most. It's like airlines. The people that really have interest in stopping any level of terrorism are the airlines themselves because if American is infested with terrorists, no one's going to fly American and their business is going to go under. So I'm sure they would have great security. You know who doesn't pay a price if a terrorist gets through? TSA. They're just government employees. There's no accountability for government. So we've taken airport security out of private hands and put it into the government's hands. How's that working out for you? When's the last time you took a flight? Was it a 3-hour wait to get onto a plane? So this is my contrarian take. And really, the more I even talk about it, I think that the answer to the competitive advantage that Disney has is level the playing field by giving everybody else the same ability, the same economic freedom with their businesses out of endless state and local regulations in their areas, not to strip the one place that is privately run. They're providing for all of their stuff. They're using their own money to maintain their roads and their bridges and their wastewater and their sewage and all these other things. Isn't this the dream of free market people? Get the government out of the way? But the problem is, and this is what happens to conservatives and Republicans all the time, when they're hurting the left, they're okay with government control. This is the same thing that people say when they look at the big tech companies. Oh, Mike, we need the government to step in and regulate Google and regulate Facebook and regulate Twitter. They're utilities. We need the government to step in and break them up. And it's always this idea that I thought Republicans and conservatives knew that government was never the answer to a problem. Government always is the problem. You got to have a little bit of patience with the free market. That's true. But it's this knee-jerk reaction to when you see a target that you don't like that's on the left, you're ready to unleash the government hounds on them. And this always, always, always boomerangs back to come after you. And then I watch conservatives just shriek and moan, government overreach. Well, don't cheer for government overreach in any of these cases. I'm willing to learn more about this. I could be somehow wrong. Maybe there are other things that Disney is actually the government is benefiting Disney in some way. That wouldn't surprise me, and I would be against any corporate welfare for Disney. I'm sure they've been on the receiving end of those things. That should be immediately cut off. but ending private property rights for Disney just because I don't like them is not something I wanted to go along with.
Yeah. It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
All right, about to get into some other stuff to top the next hour, but, you know, I'm willing to change my mind on a whole lot of things. I don't have all the details on the Elon Musk stuff or the Disney stuff, and I'm always open to more information to tell me what. I don't know exactly what plays out, and I could be wrong about both of them. To be suspicious of Elon Musk may be unfounded. Disney may need to be stripped for this of their special tax status there for some reason that I'm not aware of. So I'm open to it. What happens is so many people take a knee-jerk reaction because, you know, the person being targeted is somebody we don't like or somebody that we do like. And then we just invest our entire personality into our point of view there. And I've seen over the last couple of years in particular, last 4 or 5 years, once people stake their whole reputation in a position, you can't make them budge. It doesn't matter what facts come out. It would be nice if people wouldn't keep it.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Uh-huh.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday. Every Friday at 10 o'clock, I try to expose the corruption that is labeled foreign policy here in the United States by exposing the false flags, the things that are the lies that are told, the propaganda, the events that are framed for the American people as reasons to go to war. We've been to war many, many times, almost every single time based on a lie, and what's going on with Russia is no exception to that. You're going to get into a little bit of the stuff that's going on in the Russia-Ukraine issue, because what I see is tiptoeing towards the line of World War III. And it seems like it's not really being talked about that much. Now, there were times during the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, everybody was breathlessly scared of nuclear Armageddon, and it never took place. But I think we have a new breed of psychopath on the world stage now, particularly here in the United States, and I'll show you that they have no intention of ratcheting this thing down. They want it to continue. So with every day that new weapons are sent to Ukraine from the United States and other NATO partners, every day that that happens, the risk increases that Russian troops are killed with these things and they accelerate what they're doing, which gets an acceleratory response from the U.S. and NATO as well. These things have the ability to get out of hand really fast if you know world history. And so we'll take a look at that. But I want to start with one of my favorite targets here on this show. Conservatives and Republicans have been barraged by the appearances of General Jack Keane, retired General Jack Keane on Fox News, selling you on every single war and military activity around the planet. He would accuse you of being unpatriotic for not supporting endlessly whatever the American government wants to do to anybody at any time in any place in the world. I found this kind of interesting, and I'm going to point out something I've pointed out about him many, many times, which are his tremendous conflicts of interest. But at first, I thought Fox News was going to tell you about him. Here's the introduction. This was on Fox Business. He's on Fox Business a lot. He's on Lou Dobbs constantly. He may be there nightly. I don't know. I don't watch Lou Dobbs anymore because Lou Dobbs is a warmonger. Here's Fox Business starting out their interview with General Jack Keane.
The phase of Russia's war on Ukraine centered around the eastern region of the country that it started. Listen.
Now we can already state that Russian troops begun the battle for the Donbas, for which they have been preparing for a long time. A significant part of the entire Russian army is now concentrated on this offensive. No matter how many Russian troops are driven there, we will fight. We will defend ourselves, and we will do it every day. We won't give up anything Ukrainian.
Joining me now, Fox News senior strategic analyst, General Jack Keane. General Keane, good morning to you, and always great to see you. You are also the chairman of the board of directors.
Are they going to say it? Holy cow, they're about to say that he's the chairman of the board of directors of one of these defense contractors, aren't they? I got so excited when I heard this. I thought, oh my gosh, Fox News is about to be honest, and then I heard this.
For the Institute for the Study of War, last night, the ISW published...
Okay, so they say he's also the chairman of the board of directors for the Institute of... What is it? The Institute for the Study of War. I'm going to point this out every time Jack Keane and any of these generals are given this title. They said, what is he, national security expert or analyst or whatever they give him, these little titles. I wanted to make sure this was up to date. I found this in The Intercept just a couple of years ago. What neither Keane nor the host in these segments mention is that he is more than merely a patriotic interest in the continued occupation. Now, this was talking about Afghanistan at the time, but it still holds true. Keane, this is the guy that Fox News just calls a military analyst and on the board of directors of the Institute of the Study of War. Keane is a former board member at weapons maker General Dynamics, is chair of AM General, the company that makes Humvees. He also sits on the board of Technologies, which manufactures military chemical lights and other technology deployed on the battlefield, and the Institute of the Study of War, a think tank that publishes defense policy proposals with the aims of, quote, developing the next generation of national security leaders, and is backed by CACI International, General Dynamics, and other defense contractors. This guy is a warmonger for profit. He's a war profiteer, is what he is. Fox News never tells you that. But here in his segment was his advice. Now, I want you to listen to this knowing now that this guy has sat and is currently sitting on the board of directors, very cushy, very profitable positions, a lot of stock options in these things. Now that you know that's what his financial interest is, now listen to his advice on Fox News and see if you don't hear it a little differently.
When you look at Taiwan and you look at Ukraine and you see Russia and China respectively, I think the major lesson we got to learn here is
stop messing around with these countries. Stop provoking them. Is that what he's going to say? Oh, no.
We should have been providing Ukraine arms and munitions a long time ago and taking Putin's threats seriously.
Mm. And Putin's threats were, we're going to come into Ukraine if you don't stop arming them. So Jack Keane, this agent of death, you're looking for Satan in places. It resides in Jack Keane, who for a profit is willing to see untold number of innocent people die to sell more products. And he thinks the lesson to learn, Vladimir Putin said, quit sending weapons into Ukraine. Jack Keane tells you the lesson there is we should have sent them earlier.
We should take President Xi's threats seriously and be upgunning Taiwan now, right, not in an emergency way that we're doing here with Ukraine. Let's get it in there and make it a part of the deterrence to prevent President Xi from actually conducting that attack if he believes the cost is going to be too great.
Yeah, that's what it's all about for Jack Keane. It's all about just protecting these countries and putting deterrence in there. No, what he wants is more steady stream of weapons sales into these countries. He didn't want to wait around for Vladimir Putin to finally invade Ukraine. His defense contractor companies have just been sitting on the sidelines, not making any money. We need to start arming all of these countries now, because he wants his companies to sell more weapons. That guy is truly just disgusting in what he's done to the conservative mind for decades on Fox News. There are stories about the Azov Brigade battalion. This is the Nazi battalions of the Ukrainian army and the fights in Mariupol. I don't have a good clip on this. But it's very interesting to watch the back and forth. I've got stories that show the Ukrainian, or that talk within the same story about the Ukrainian side, which is the Russians are pounding Mariupol, and particularly there's a power plant in this Mariupol area where a lot of people have sought refuge. Tremendous underground network of things underneath this thing. It has been known to be the Azov, the Nazi brigade kind of headquarters. And the Russians apparently have pretty much got it surrounded. Now, the Ukrainians say a bunch of civilians have gone down there for safety from the bombardment. The Russians are saying the Azov, the Nazis, are actually keeping human shields down there with them. There is a video that I've got up here that's not good audio of the Russians allowing people to come out of the cellars and escape this town, because this is where the Russians believe they're going to face off and finally end these Nazi battalions. And so they're letting the innocent civilians get out of there. And there is video of this, of just lines and lines of people being escorted right past Russian tanks. And unless they took them out in a field somewhere and shot them in the back of the head, it looks like the Russians are trying to get the innocent civilians out so they can finish off the Nazis. Of course, the Ukrainians are saying these are the Russians being brutal, that they're carpet bombing these areas and killing civilians. I don't know that we really know the truth of it, but you're just going to have a hard time convincing me that the Nazis are on the right side of any military conflict. Last week, Joe Biden gave Ukraine $800 million in weapons, and then he got all you tax slaves to go out there and fill out your 1090s and send in more money on Monday. So he had another $800 million sloshing around, and he made another announcement of another $800 million in weapons. I asked last week, what would we have done? Let's just say we're in Afghanistan. What would we have done if there were countries around the world that were shipping weapons into the Taliban and those weapons were being used to kill U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan? The U.S. was poised for an easy victory in Afghanistan, but, and just name the country, China, Russia, Iran, anybody was caught, not even caught, but said openly, we're going to send a bunch of weapons into Afghanistan. We're going to give them to the Taliban so the Taliban can use these bombs and bullets to kill American soldiers. Do you think America would just go, oh, man, that's going to make this harder for us? Or do you think we would go after the countries providing the weapons to the Taliban? You know the answer to that. We never would have tolerated that. But we are announcing broadly, loudly, that we are going to give every weapon we can find. We're clearing out the stockpiles in the U.S. so the defense contractors can refill them. Already talked about that. And Russia knows this. They know it because we're bragging about it. This was a clip. Let me find this one here. There's another big shipment going. There's an interesting article about Buka. I'm going to have to cover that later because it's just too in-depth to go back and look. There's Ukrainians are giving their accounts of what happened in Buka, and it is not at all consistent with what the Western media has put out. But I wanted to get to this, too, because I keep telling you they want this war. They want this war to continue. There is no talk between our Secretary of State and the Secretary of State's counterpart in Russia, Lavrov. There is no meetings scheduled. Zelensky has drawn his hard line that they're going to continue to rule over the ethnic Russians in eastern Ukraine. They're not giving up that territory. So this has the potential to be a long conflict. And believe me, that's what they want. This was Turkish. A Turkish official has spoken in an interview on Wednesday. Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlüt Çavuşoğlu said some NATO member states want the war in Ukraine to last longer as a way to hurt Russia. Quote, there are countries within NATO who want the war to continue. They want Russia to become weaker. According to Iran's Mehr news agency, this guy, I don't want to have to pronounce his name, Çavuşoğlu, did not think the war would last long after Russia and Ukraine held peace talks in Istanbul last month. But following a NATO foreign ministers meeting, he was given the impression that some alliance members don't want the war to end. Since Russia invaded on February 21st, the U.S. and many of its NATO allies have abandoned diplomacy with Russia. Instead of seeking a diplomatic solution, the Western powers are pouring weapons into Ukraine and waging an economic sanctions campaign against Russia. The view among some NATO members on the war was summarized by a recent report from the Washington Post. The report said, quote, for some in NATO, it's better for the Ukrainians to keep fighting and dying than to achieve a peace that comes too early or at too high a cost for Kiev and the rest of Europe. Of course, Raytheon's CEO Greg Hayes' quote was, quote, everything that's being shipped into Ukraine today, of course, is coming out of stockpiles either at DOD or from our NATO allies, and that's all great news. Eventually, we'll have to replenish it, and we will see a benefit to the business. That's your Raytheon executive. They don't want this war to end. They want it to continue. They're going to ship weapons in there to kill as many Russians and let as many Ukrainians die as possible to sell more weapons and just to hurt Russia. This has nothing to do with national security, nothing to do with anything except for the warmongers getting a war. When I come back, if they can't accomplish it just with the weapons, they may ratchet things up. They're, of course, trotting out again the cyber attack story. This was a CBS story. And then a couple of events that happened just in the past couple of days that makes me wonder if this has not already started. We'll be right back. Whatever the West, NATO, United States accuses another country of is what they do. I mean, it's been amazing to watch a country that has led the invasion of six or seven countries in the Middle East over the last 20 years shriek about territorial integrity and national sovereignty of Ukraine. It's quite amazing to watch them say it with a straight face. But if you pay attention long enough, you understand whatever they accuse other countries of doing is exactly what we are doing. And I shouldn't say we. You and I have no dog in this hunt. We're not war profiteers. We don't make any money from these things. We just pay the price. But the psychopaths running the show are the ones who benefit. This was a story on CBS, the CIA network, talking about what they fear next that Russia may do.
Tonight, there's growing concern about Russian threats here at home. U.S. authorities warn that the Kremlin could launch cyber attacks on American soil. Experts say this could impact everything from public transit to banks to the energy sector. For 60 Minutes, CBS's Bill Whitaker spoke with Dmitry Aperovich, the Moscow-born co-founder of the cybersecurity company CrowdStrike and a member of the Homeland Security Advisory Council.
CrowdStrike, just for anybody who's keeping up, they were the ones involved with the DNC server. They're the ones, I believe they are based in Ukraine. There's a good impartial person to interview, right? A Ukrainian company is involved with the DNC. Oh, this should be a perfectly unbiased report.
So of all of these things they can do, what is the one that troubles you the most?
An attack on the oil and gas industry where they go after the safety systems again. And it can cause cascading effects and fires and potential explosions.
Now, remember that part right there in particular can cause cascading effects, particularly fires and explosions.
And people die.
It would require a response from us that, as you were saying, could escalate.
It absolutely would.
Not just a cyber war, but a real war.
It's a real concern. And the reality is that we have seen the Russians in cyberspace do some things that we thought were just nuts, that were so provocative, so escalatory, that sometimes you look at that and you say, who's controlling these guys? You know, when the United States...
Now, get this. This is one of my favorite parts of the clip. This is just beyond laughable. Again, the way they say these things with a straight face is amazing to me.
That sometimes you look at that and you say, who's controlling these guys? You know, when the United States launches operations, there's an army of lawyers that is going to be approving every step of that operation and asking, are you going to cause any civilian casualties? Are you going to do anything that's disproportionate? They don't have any of that in Russia. And that can lead us down a very dark path.
Yeah, we've got an army of attorneys that always sign off on everything, making sure we never harm any civilians. Yeah, we might want to check in with the citizens of Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, Yemen, Somalia. We might want to check in with those people and see if they were all the innocent people were spared because the lawyers stood in the gap. These are the same lawyers who found a way. Torture is illegal. It's against the Geneva Convention. Just call it enhanced interrogation and we can get away with it. This guy's not done.
And Bill Whitaker joins us now from New York. That sounds really alarming. And you point out that the Russians have already targeted a refinery in the past, right?
Yes, they have, Nora. In 2017, Russian hackers launched a cyber attack against a huge oil refinery in Saudi Arabia that targeted those safety control systems. In this case, the hackers made a small coding mistake, and they ended up shutting down the refinery instead of triggering a deadly explosion. But the experts have told us Russian hackers learn from their mistakes.
They're so great, but they do make mistakes. Now, I will remind everybody that Vault 7, the release of classified information from the CIA by WikiLeaks, you remember WikiLeaks, oh, by the way, on that, Julian Assange has now been ordered to be extradited to the United States. Donald Trump is the one who put him into a prison in England, kept him there, tried to slow kill him. Mike Pompeo wanted to either murder him or kidnap him. Julian Assange is scheduled now, or they're saying he will be extradited to the United States. The one person who really is standing up against this stuff, Donald Trump put into a prison. I'm supposed to ignore that. But anyway, the Vault 7 revelations through WikiLeaks showed that the CIA knew how to put Russian fingerprints on any hacking attack, so they could make a hack attack look like it was actually coming from the Russians. I don't know if the Russians did this to Saudi Arabia. They've got a decent relationship with Saudi Arabia, or they did before what's going on right now. So I'm not really sure why they would target Saudi Arabia, but Saudi Arabia apparently was targeted. And strangely enough, the Russians left enough information in the hack to show that it was them. Or was it Vault 7?
Yeah, it's really interesting. And do we know, is there any indication that Russians are preparing for a similar cyber attack now?
Well, just last week, the U.S. government issued a warning about a new piece of malware dubbed Pipe Dream. One cybersecurity expert told us the initial targets are liquefied natural gas and electric power sites in North America. The malware is suspected to be of Russian origin and is far more advanced and versatile than what was used in Saudi Arabia.
So there you go. That's the setup. If anything happens, it's all Russia's fault. The West accuses other countries of what it is doing. And I'm just going to say this. This story just came out. This is in the last couple of days. The death toll in the massive fire that broke out earlier in the day at a sensitive Russian Defense Ministry research facility in the city of Tver has risen to 7 after emergency crews battled the Thursday blaze throughout the afternoon, state-run TASS reports. So strangely, there has suddenly been, and the cyber attack guy was saying, these things can happen. It creates fires and explosions. And then within a couple of days of that report, suddenly there are fires and explosions at the Russian Defense Ministry Research Facility. The cause of the fire is still either unknown or not being disclosed by Russian state agencies at this point. But now more questions are being raised as another mysterious large blaze has erupted, this time at Russia's largest chemical plant, a mere hours after the fire in Tver. The latter, which has engulfed a facility belonging to the secretive Central Research and Development Institute of Aerospace Defense Troops. So two things have spontaneously exploded or caught fire in Russia. As I say, they accuse you of doing what they actually do. I don't know. This could be Russians trying to, one of these places is where they actually test and develop ballistic missiles. Maybe they're rushing to do something. Maybe they made a mistake. Maybe there was a chemical fire. Sometimes these things just happen. I'm just saying. It's very curious that these things are happening in Russia as it stands right now. And if we're not done with provoking Russia and trying to kick off World War III when it comes to Ukraine, Lindsey Graham is at it again. He's one of the leading neocons who has supported the Ukrainian neo-Nazis in the war against Russians. Now he's pulled off a surprise visit to Taiwan, playing the very same game, promising U.S. support for a war against China should they invade. So Lindsey Graham and a cadre of more warmongers have headed over to Taiwan. Most conservatives are on board with that one. You believe that we need to fight to the last American to protect Taiwan. It is just another front in this constant warmongering on the right. And we just haven't figured out that Taiwan's not worth going to war over either. I want to see Taiwan remain a free country. I do not like China. But this is just another attempt to sell more weapons. You just heard Jack Keane say it at the beginning of this segment. He wants to start arming Taiwan now. That will further provoke the Chinese and probably force them into some level of invasion, which will sell more weapons. It's just a shame that millions of innocent people have to die along the way. Don't be duped by these people any longer. 3-4 decades of it is enough. Be right back.
What's your frequency, can it this y'all?
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. And to finish off every Friday, I chronicle the world's descent into madness with this segment called This Week on the Crazy Train.
All aboard!
This is just an interesting story. It's not even really, this has been going on for a long time, but the case of the native ad, I don't know if you're familiar with that. But it is when a news broadcast presents a story as if it's a story, but it's actually paid advertising. What I thought was interesting about this is on NPR, National Public Radio. You know, you hear the left in particular, if you ever threaten the funding of PBS or NPR or any of these state-funded news networks, they say, oh, they can't, you're trying to shut us down. You got to keep this government flowing. These are, you know what they say. The fact of the matter is these organizations get most of their money from corporate sponsors, but not just on ads. They are whores for the dollar like any other institution. This is an NPR story.
Fans of Taco Bell's Mexican pizza received good news this week. The food chain is bringing back the beloved menu item.
You have the two like fried tortillas that are like kind of glued together with the beans or the meat, whatever you want to do.
That's comedian and writer Rima Parikh, who wrote an essay professing her love for the Mexican pizza.
The top, there's like the cheese, there's the tomatoes. They used to have green onions. They don't have those anymore.
Of course, there's no such thing in true Mexican cuisine, but Taco Bell's creation has developed a strong following, especially among South Asian Americans. The disappointment ran deep when it was pulled from the menu about it.
So it's a 2-minute story. It's a 2-minute story about the, what is it, the Mexican pizza? I didn't even listen to it. It's just so blatant. These things go on. Of course, Jack Keane is just doing an infomercial for weapons sales when he comes on Fox News. So just understand you're being subjected to these kinds of native ads all the time. Big story of the week, of course, was the judge striking down the mask mandate and the confusion that ensued.
Well, many health officials are worried that we're lifting the mask mandates too soon, especially with the emergence of a more contagious subvariant that now makes up nearly 20% of new cases. For more on what this means and what you can do to protect yourself, let's bring in CBS News Chief Medical.
Stay home. Just stay home. If you're scared of the new variant, stay home. Please do us all a favor. Would you please just stay at your house? You know, we can deliver all kinds of stuff to your house. You can even take virtual. Get you a VR headset. You can take virtual vacations. Would the people that are scared to live their lives please just stay at home?
Correspondent Dr. John LaPook. John, we're glad you're with us to help make sense of all this. All right. Some people excited. Some are still nervous. What do our viewers need to know?
Well, first of all, remember, this was a court decision, not a public agency decision, public health agency decision. So that said, there's a lot of confusion around the country right now, and it does seem like the floodgates are opening for people taking off their masks.
Oh, no.
So with this kind of confusion, I think it's reasonable for people to ask themselves two questions. First, what's the COVID weather report where I live? You can go to cdc.gov, put in where you live, and it'll tell you how much COVID there is around that area. And the second is, what's your risk profile? What's your risk tolerance in the next 2 to 3 weeks? If in the next 2 to 3 weeks you're going to see somebody who's especially vulnerable, or you have a very important event, you might say to yourself, you know what? For the next 2 to 3 weeks, I'm going to just be very, very careful. I'm going to wear a mask when I can, especially an N95 or a KN95.
Just stay home. Just stay home. Just stay home. It lost in all of this is the fact that the masks don't work. They just don't work. Never shown to be worked, never scientifically proven to work. And everybody, including the medical professionals who for some reason lost their mind in 2020, they knew that they didn't work for a viral infection. Of course, out from under his rock, Anthony Fauci weighed in on this.
Both surprised and disappointed, because those types of things really are the purview of the CDC. This is a public health issue.
They should be granted complete authority over your, if this is public health. Listen to him say he just can't believe the courts even weighed in on this.
And for a court to come in, and if you look at the rationale for that, it really is not particularly firm. And we are concerned about that, about courts getting involved in things that are unequivocally public health decisions. I mean, this is a CDC issue. It should not have been a court issue.
So that's him basically saying what we were talking about earlier here. The government's role is to protect your freedom, to wear a mask or not wear a mask. Anthony Fauci believes the CDC should be above any of your personal rights. It's just about their science. And in every one of these stories, it is lost that the masks don't work. Never did work. Never will work. But that doesn't stop the government. It's never too late to make a bad decision.
This morning, the Justice Department officially filing an appeal of a Florida judge's ruling that overturned the nation's travel mask mandate. It comes at the official request from the CDC. In a statement, the agency says an order requiring masking in the indoor transportation corridor remains necessary for the public's health. The department is also taking into account precedent, not letting a judge decide public health policy.
For current and future public health crises, we want to preserve that
authority for the CDC to have in the future.
I think it's really important that they actually appeal that that ruling, because I think it is important that we are able to switch back to wearing masks again if there's another big variant.
Okay, there we go. Important. It's important. You think it's very important? He does think it's important, so it must be important. This is all about power for the CDC. And what's amazing about this, too, to me, is they keep talking about how the court should not interfere in health policy. It's not what the court did. The CDC can roll out whatever policy they want. Their policy is to recommend masks. Their policy is to do what it's the forcing of human beings to abide by a policy for a bureaucracy that has no power to force you to do anything, or should not. Of course, it has. This was kind of funny. This is on a podcast with Jason Bateman, guy from Arrested Development, along with Will Arnett from Arrested Development 2, and Sean Hayes that was on, I think, Will and Grace, and he's a Broadway actor now. He's going to tell us about his testing experience in New York City. This clip belongs on This Week on the Crazy Train.
You know what's so crazy? So when I go to the theater, I have to have a COVID test every week, right?
Sure.
And so I missed this one day. So they said, oh, well, you have to just go to one of these like free clinic places. Okay. So I Google it. It says you can come in for, you know, just like walk in. You don't have to make an appointment. So I walk in, and I'm not kidding you guys, there's nobody there. Mm-hmm. And the woman standing right when you walk in goes, do you have an appointment? No. And she goes, you have to make an appointment. I go, but it said walk in. She goes, yeah, but you still have to make one. So you can go back outside and scan the little digital thing on your phone. And I go, you're joking me right now. She goes, no. I go, you want me to walk outside? Yeah. So I walk out. I go, watch this. And I looked at her through the glass, through the door.
Never broke eye contact.
No,
this sounds like a real Bateman.
I know.
I was so angry. I took the picture of the thing, and I'm filling it out, just giving her evil looks while I'm filling this out. I log in all my information. I walk in. She goes, can I help you? I go, yeah. She wasn't even kidding. She goes, do you have an appointment?
Was it Edie McClurg from Ferris Bueller?
I go, wait, this is not happening. This is like a joke. So she goes, yeah, I have an appointment. She goes, right over here to a line that doesn't exist. And then this guy at the front desk, he's like, do you have an appointment? I go, yes, I do. She's like, great. And then he tells me to go wait in this other line. There's no line. It's just a thing to go get tested.
I'm telling you, we have got, you know, there is a, there's a, an idea about the non-player characters. The world is full of NPCs, and this guy just ran into some NPCs. They do not know how to operate in real life. They got to have the rules. They got to have the rules set. Australia is struggling with a new health crisis there, and they cannot. This is the health minister for Australia. They just can't quite get to the bottom of this health problem they're having in Australia these days.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can explain why we saw a 40% jump in code ones. And I've seen that as I've travelled around the state sometimes. I'll walk into an ambulance service and they'll say, we had a 30% increase in code ones yesterday. Can't tell you why. We just had a lot of heart attacks and chest pains and trouble, you know, breathing, respiratory issues. Sometimes you can't explain why those things happen, but unfortunately...
Do you have any theories or any idea as to what could have been that exact thing?
No, we don't have that information yet, but you know, what I do know, and I'm hearing some interjections on the side, is that vaccines actually help people stay out of hospital, not put them in hospital.
Yeah, we've had a 40% rise in heart attacks right after we rolled out this experimental shot that one of the side effects listed on the company's own website say could cause some heart problems, but we cannot figure out why we're seeing a 40% rise in code one heart attacks here in Australia. And then she says, well, we think the vaccines keep you out of the hospital. They don't put you in. Well, even if they did work for COVID, it's a hell of a thing to be saved from going in the hospital for COVID only to go in the hospital for a heart attack. But if you're not scared enough about COVID, they've got another one waiting in the wings, pun intended.
Concerns about the bird flu have prompted experts to ask Americans not to feed birds this spring. So remove your bird feeders is what's being recommended in many areas because the virus can spread anywhere that birds are grouped together. Bird flu cases have been confirmed in 22 states. This is the worst outbreak in 7 years.
Oh, we're all going to die. Oh, the poor birds. Now the birds are going to learn who the birds are about to learn who is a liberal Democrat voting household, because there will no longer be any free food for the birds around a Democrat house because of, you know, bird food. Be right back.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for the week, and I part with the same advice I do every Friday, and that is, if you're hungry this weekend, if you're looking for something fun to do, a nice place to go, catch a bite to eat with the family, with a date, with the guys, to catch a game, your destination should be Your Pie up in Gluckstadt. They're at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right up there by Germantown High School. Well, there was some interesting news about Germantown High School this week we didn't get into today. Anyway, they are 10-inch, 14-inch, brick-oven-fired pizzas made the way that you want them. They also have pastas, paninis, salads, gelato, beers, wines, and TVs to view whatever event you might want to see there. This is veteran-owned and locally owned, and make sure that you download their app, the Your Pie app. You'll get all kinds of specials, double points days, and use those points to get free pizzas, free desserts and appetizers, all kinds of things. So definitely check out that that app. This is Your Pie, 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. You can also get them delivered through TakeABreakDeliveries.com. TakeABreakDeliveries.com is the official locally owned, veteran-owned delivery service for Your Pie. So if you want it delivered to your home, you can do that as well. Your Pie, express your inner pizza. All right, I'm going to finish up with some good news today. Maybe some return to sanity to end up this week on the crazy train. I am not somebody who bathes in the tears of liberals. I know that makes some people mad, because for most liberals, those who walk amongst us, those in the working class like ourselves, are just victims. I like to reason with them, and there's plenty of good people over there. But when it comes to the tippy top, I got to say, I enjoy the tears. This was, over the last couple of weeks, we had them flowing from the left. This is Taylor Lorenz, the abominable Washington Post reporter who is just full of hate for anybody that disagrees with her. But she was so sad that she's faced online harassment herself.
I've had to remove every single social tie. I had severe PTSD from this. I contemplated suicide. It got really bad. You feel like any little piece of information that gets out on you will be used by the worst people on the internet to destroy your life. And it's so isolating
and terrifying.
It's horrifying. I'm so sorry. It's overwhelming. It's really hard.
Now, online harassment is deplorable. I rail against social media and how just coarse everybody has gotten with each other. The problem is, this woman is involved in trying to dox people who disagree with her. She has carried out this violence against people who have disagreed with her for years now. And when it backlashes and comes for her, she wants everybody to weep with her. Jen Psaki also had a meltdown moment over the Don't Say Gay bill.
This is a political wedge issue and an attempt to win a culture war. And they're doing that in a way that is harsh and cruel to a community of kids, especially. I'm going to get emotional about this issue because it's horrible. But you know, it's like kids who are bullied, and they're just like, all these leaders are taking steps to hurt them and hurt their lives and hurt their family.
We've done so much work to create more and more trans kids, and now they won't let them talk about it at school. This was an interesting way to phrase the Republicans' attack on Disney in Florida. Listen to this callback from a Democrat talking about Disney.
Tonight, Florida's new fight against the house that Mickey built. Florida's Senate approving legislation to eliminate Disney's self-governing authority and tax breaks.
23 yeas, 16 nays.
Democrats unanimously opposed it.
Why are we putting our knee on the neck of the mouse? It's ridiculous.
So there you go. A call back to George Floyd. The Republicans are putting their knee on the neck of the mouse. Oh, my gosh. This was interesting. I got time. Yeah, I got time for this. This is a story. It's on a BBC story.
The headline is, how can we help kids cope with, quote, eco-anxiety? Subheadline, more and more children are experiencing eco-anxiety, a chronic fear of environmental doom. Well, golly gee willikers, I wonder where they came up with that. Striding onto the streets of Glasgow, 16-year-old Amy O'Brien joined tens of thousands of other marchers last November for a global day of action for climate justice. O'Brien is an activist with Fridays for Future Ireland, a youth movement that uses school strikes to campaign for climate justice. She has taken the train and ferry from her hometown of Mitchelsontown to County Cork and to Glasgow to attend the 26th UN Climate Change Conference of the Parties, COP26. But while the journey was motivated by her activism, it also had a deeply personal side effect. It gave her hope. O'Brien has spent half her life, she's 16 years old, O'Brien has spent half of her life worrying about the impact of global climate change to the point of feeling an intense fear over the planet's future, an increasingly common phenomenon among children and teenagers. Gee, I wonder where they got this chronic fear of environmental doom. It couldn't have been from the climate alarmists, could it? And I'm going to call back to my story earlier this week that pointed out that Neptune has had a rapid temperature rise over the last couple of years. 11 degrees Celsius, Neptune. No carbon, no coal plants, no SUVs. Rapid climate change, both negative and positive, recently. Finish up on some good news. Well, first is, I talked about it last week, the first tweet, the NFT of the first tweet that was bought for $2.9 million, put on sale for $48 million. I think it finally settled in around $14,000. Still too much for that, but maybe the insanity of the NFT market is over. And then the most delicious headline of the week, for sure, to give us some optimism, a return to sanity, CNN Plus shut down in less than 30 days from cranking it up. So maybe the tide is turning, the pendulum is swinging. I'll see you Monday.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.